Danielle's A.G., Prescott. St. Helena, California, June 15, 1910. Elders Danielle's and Prescott. Dear brethren, I have a message for you. Those who serve the cause of God need to be men of prayer, men who will heed the instruction that the Lord is giving regarding the prosecution of His work. I am deeply impressed as I realize that time is rapidly passing. Every worker should now be daily converted, and every power be employed in doing a work in our large cities that has been strangely neglected. I entreat of you to delay not to open the fields that so greatly need attention and that have scarcely been touched. This is your work. There is need of a reformation in the work that God has pointed out for you to do in opening new fields. There is much to be done in bringing before the world the light of Bible truth in its sacred simplicity, and you both need to be revived by the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Let the refining grace of truth lead you into the deepest experience of consecration and sanctification. You need to realize the necessity of home religion and earnest activity for the glory of God. Let the sanctification of the truth come into your home life. Let there be nothing common in your words and actions. May the softening, subduing, and sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit impart to you meekness and gentleness. And may the presence of the Spirit close the door of the heart to the great apostate who is determined, if possible, to gain control. If you could but see as the Lord sees, you would discern how persistently the enemy of souls is seeking to gain the ascendancy. I am charged with a message to you both that you need to humble your hearts before God. Neither Elder Prescott nor Elder Danielle's is prepared to direct the work of the General Conference, for in some things they have dishonored the Lord God of Israel. High, pure devotion to God is required of men placed in your position. Such a man was Daniel, who in his statesmanship maintained a clean and holy purpose. Such characters are needed now. I am to tell you that neither of you is prepared to discern with clear eyesight that which is needed now. You are in danger of voicing sentiments that will be misleading. We are living in the last days of this earth's history, and we need to have a burning desire to copy the life of Christ. The great work remaining now to be done awaits the efforts of consecrated, loyal men. Some things were clearly opened before me during the last meeting I attended in Washington. But those who ought to have been the first to recognize the movings of the Holy Spirit were not sufficiently impressed to receive the light and to act in harmony with it. The work in the cities has not yet been carried forward as it should be. Had the president of the General Conference been thoroughly aroused, he might have seen the situation. But he has not understood the message that God has given. I can no longer hold my peace. I have a message to come to all the people. We must awaken out of sleep. Let all now be on guard. We need men who will be taught of God. This is no time to be careless. The Lord calls for ministers to go into the cities, men who realize that satanic agencies are taking counsel together to work with their deceiving influence upon every mind, to the end that the gospel message shall not be proclaimed. Time is rapidly passing, and there is much to be done. We have come far short of doing the very work that has been specified by the Holy Spirit to be done. The work of giving the Bible truth to those who know it not. 7 men should have been chosen to be united with the president, to set in operation a work in the great cities for those who are perishing without the truth, while no determined efforts are being put forth to save them. These 7 men should be men who are wide awake, men that are humble and meek and lowly in heart. Never should the cities have been neglected as they are. For there has come most decidedly message after message calling for earnest labor. No less than 7 men should be chosen to carry the large responsibilities of the work of God in the great cities. And these men should humble themselves daily and seek the Lord most earnestly for sanctified wisdom. They should relate themselves to God as men desirous to be taught. They must be men of prayer who realize the peril of their own souls. What should be the work of these seven men? They should investigate the needs of the cities and put forth earnest, decided efforts to advance the work. Will you not now gather up many of my past messages, study them, and present them to the people? It is high time that our churches should know what has been the word of the Lord. These cities must not remain unwarned.
The Lord will test and prove everyone who professes to be righteous. Many of our people, and among them some who are laborers, are not ready for the Lord's appearing. For your soul's sake, my brethren, heed the messages that the Lord sends to you. Let everyone take heed to his own soul's salvation, and then work earnestly for the salvation of others. If those who are consecrated unite to work untiringly for souls, they can do great good in our conferences and in our camp meetings. Our camp meetings must not be treated indifferently. Let the time of these gatherings be regarded as precious, and let it be devoted to seeking the Lord sincerely for a fitness to serve the Lord in humility. In many cases, there should be less of lengthy sermonizing and more hunting and fishing for souls. Let Christ be the teacher. If we obey his word and do his works, we shall never be found on the background. Presidents of conferences, to whom the Lord has given great light, will you not decide to deal truly with your own soul's best interests? Walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. We find that in some places, precise plans are laid down for both public and private labors. Do not hesitate to abandon such a policy. Let the Spirit of the Lord direct his laborers. I must warn the president of the General Conference to walk humbly before God, to place himself daily under the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit. Elder Prescott, in the name of the Lord God of Israel, you may humble yourself. Let your light so shine before all men with whom you associate that they will take knowledge of you that you have learned of Jesus. Christ says to you, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Luke 14, verse 23. Those who engage wholeheartedly in this service will be able to bear a testimony that will help to win other souls to Christ. Unless you learn of him daily, you will be in danger of losing your bearings. I must say to you, humble your own souls before God. Shun every influence that would tend to cheapen the message that should be given to high and low in the cities. Keep open the channel of communication between your soul and God, that those with whom you associate may recognize the voice of him who gave his life for you. I dare not flatter you. Let the divine precepts be brought into your life daily, and when you stand up to address a congregation, the communication between your soul and God will be recognized, for your heart and mind will be open to the impressions of God's Spirit. Pray to God most earnestly that you may not miss the mark. Study how you can best honor your Redeemer. I am to say to you that it is your privilege to walk humbly with Christ Jesus. Unless you do this, you will be in grave danger of receiving spurious ideas from other minds. The truth of God, like gold, does not lie on the surface, but it is obtained only by earnest effort. As you study the life of Christ, you may, if receptive, receive a knowledge that will expand the mental powers and will be a savor of eternal truths that you may bring before the people. Let the divine precepts be brought into the daily life. Let your speech and actions be fashioned after the great standard of righteousness, as exemplified in Christ Jesus. I feel an intense interest that in this period of time, no haphazard work shall be done. Satan and his agencies are playing the game of life for our souls. His plan is to steal away the true conviction of the Holy Spirit. For months I have been troubled, because I see that many are not discerning the signs of the times. You were present at the General Conference last spring, when the power of God rested upon me as I delivered his messages. If those messages had been received and acted upon, I should not now be suffering under the burden that I am carrying. I dare not be silent longer. Angels of great power were expelled from heaven because of the spirit of self-exaltation. They felt that they should be above Christ. These fallen angels are now at work to deceive those that will give heed to their deceptions, and to delay and hinder the work of God. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say thus unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created.
Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 17. Read the whole of the 28th chapter of Ezekiel carefully, and pray that you may understand the working of God. We are dealing with fallen angels and with fallen men. I would that our conference presidents, our physicians, and all our ministers might understand the message that the Lord gave me in Washington. I did not speak in my own strength, but some of the very ones who needed most the warnings given have chosen to follow on in their own ideas, and I am sorry that their hearts are not awake to the work of the hour. Our brethren should study carefully the instruction given in Gospel Workers. Valuable instruction is given in the chapter Personal Effort. Let our brethren east and west fast and pray earnestly and humble their souls before God. Oh, that all would be reconverted and not give up till they know that they are following on to know the Lord. Those who humbly follow on to know the Lord will know that His going forth is prepared as the morning. There is encouragement for all in the third chapter of Zechariah. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree.